All right, if we can gather back, please. All right, we'll take on item number 12, update to the State Water Board on-site wastewater treatment system policy with Mr. Charles Reed.
Good afternoon. I'm, for information, and if you didn't know already, the one of the staff contacts for the new State Board's on-site system policy. Today's presentation is just to give you our first update on the new statewide policy. And it was well teed up for me by our state liaison, some of the background on the policy. Let me get this rolling here. Charles Reed, staff engineer with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. So what I wanted to brief you on today, I wanted to give you a brief background on the policy, describe the structure of the policy, and get a little bit more into the details, but not too much. It's actually a fairly complicated policy with a lot of cross references if you've had a chance to look at the policy. I know many of you have. But what's probably most important to you is the implications of the policy for Region 1, particularly with respect to water. Impaired water bodies and the Russian River watershed in particular. I'll finish up with just going over some of the next steps that I think that we'll be going through in the coming years. Assembly Bill 885, where this all started, was signed into law in September 2000. It required the State Board to adopt regulations or standards for on-site systems in California. It applied to new and replacement on-site systems that are failing, subject to major repair, and septic systems adjacent to impaired water bodies. And the law required the state to develop these standards and adopt them by January 1st, 2004. So after a couple of attempts at statewide regulations and prescriptive requirements, the State Board finally adopted the on-site system policy that I'm describing today this past June. According to the policy, the effective date is 6 months from the final approval of the policy from the Office of Administrative Law. It's anticipated by the State Board that the policy will go into effect sometime in the spring of next year. So this policy sets out responsibilities and duties for the septic system owners, local agencies, the regional board here, all the regional boards actually, and the State Board. It also includes important deadlines for certain actions that we all have to take. But the meat of the policy is in the regulatory tiers. They're risk-based, with lower tiers being associated with lower risk and less regulatory oversight. I'll talk about the tiers a little bit more in the next slide. The policy includes a conditional waiver of waste discharge requirements for all on-site systems that comply with the policy. And this is an important piece of the policy because it brings existing wastewater systems under regulation as long as they meet the minimum requirements. In the past, under our current basin plan, existing systems that have never been permitted by the county or us have just been kind of in limbo. You know, we don't really know about them, and we haven't had any particular requirements on them. But this policy and this conditional waiver brings everybody into the fold. One of the attachments to the policy describes or lays out the program timelines when everything is supposed to happen. Another attachment two, which I'll talk about a little bit later, in addition to here, is an important piece of the policy. It applies to water bodies that have been identified as contributing to an impairment. They've been assigned by the State Board in Attachment 2 a date by which the TM deal needs to be completed, and the State Board is going to be updating this list as they go through the 303D list approval process that they normally go through. For Region 1, we have TMDL deadlines in this attachment for the Russian River TMDL for 2016. We have deadlines for 2020 for Clam Beach, Leffenholtz Beach, Moonstone County Park, and Trinidad State Beach, all of which are in Humboldt County. Also in attachment two is the list designating which regional board is a lead in approving local agencies, local agency management plans. This is necessary, really, when one county has more than one regional board overseeing it. In the case of Region 1, for example, we share counties with other regional boards in Sonoma County, Glenn, Lake, Modoc, and Siskiyou County. And according to Attachment 2, we're going to be taking the lead role in reviewing these LAMPs for Sonoma and Siskiyou County. The other counties will be taken care of by Region 2 and, Region 2 for Lake and Region 5 for Modoc and Glenn. So the regulatory tiers, these are the meat and of the policy, and most of the policy is spent talking about these various tiers and the interactions. So tier zero applies to existing septic systems that are functioning properly and do not meet the conditions of a failing on-site system. So this is all systems that are not failing. The assumption is that if you're operating and not failing, we're not going to worry about you until you are determined to be failing. Tier one, the next level up, applies to newer replacement systems that are determined to be low risk and where a local regulatory agency does not have an approved local agency management program. The local agency management program is part of tier two. And there's a process that the regional boards adopt these or review and approve these local agency management programs. Tier three applies to existing new and replacement on-site systems that are near water bodies that have been designated on as impaired for nitrogen or pathogens. If a TMDL is not in effect, new and replacement systems within 600 feet of an impaired water body must meet specific performance requirements, including supplemental treatment for reduction of pathogens and nitrogen. Tier 4 applies to septic systems that require corrective action because it's presently failing or a threat to fail, and there are specific minimum requirements for Tier 4 septic systems. So what does this mean? For existing owners of on-site systems, it means a slightly more active role than they had in the past. It requires owners to maintain their septic systems in good working order to qualify for the waiver. And this requirement has really been implicit in our basin plan, but here in this policy has been made explicit. And in order to qualify for the waiver and to be covered under the on-site system policy, you have to maintain your system in good working order. In addition, the existing owners have to comply with minimum standards of the policy, whichever tier they are in, tier zero, tier one, or tier two. This is going to mean a slightly modified role for the local agencies. First, they're going to have to decide whether they're going to have a tier one or tier two program. If they have a tier one program, it's probably the minimum effort that's expected of them. All they'll have to do is review individual projects that come to them for new replacement systems and compare them to the fairly stringent minimum prescriptive standards in Tier 0 and approve or deny those proposals. And they can do this for on-site systems up to 3,500 gallons a day. If the county elects to have a Tier 2 program, it gives them a lot more flexibility in how to oversee these on-site systems. But it does have some requirements. It requires them to develop and implement a local agency management plan, a LAMP, within 5 years from the policy's effective date. It allows them to authorize on-site systems up to 10,000 gallons a day, which is considerably larger than we have in the past done in most of our counties. Generally, we start to look at systems when they're in the 3,000 to 5,000 gallon range. So under a Tier 2 LAMP, county can oversee systems up to 10,000 gallons or can choose to not want to regulate systems at large. Local agencies under Tier 2 will also be responsible for overseeing corrective action for failing on-site systems in their jurisdiction. And one of the requirements of Tier 2 is that they report annually to us on the efficacy of their program. All local agencies, when there's a Tier 3 involved, must develop and implement an advanced protection management program where there is a TMDL. And I'll discuss this a little bit more later in the next slide. For the regional boards, we have a fair amount of work to do. First and foremost is to amend our basin plan to incorporate the statewide policy. We will have 12 months from the effective date of the policy to do this. It also means that we could potentially have more work regulating on-site systems that do not fit into any particular tier, or at least that don't qualify for any tier. For instance, if it's a very large flow or if it has very high strength waste, it won't fit into the policy, and therefore we have to regulate it. And if an existing system, will have to submit a reported waste discharge to us. So that's conceivably a significant workload. But we don't know exactly the universe of all these existing systems that might not comply. It might be very low. There could be quite a few out there. And another potential workload for the TMDL unit is to develop and adopt TMDLs that are on the attachment 2, particularly the ones for Humboldt County. So I mentioned that there's a TMDL deadline for 2020. So because these are on the attachment 2, that kind of requires our TMDL unit to make those a fairly high priority, where they might not have been in the past. So Tier 3 pertains to on-site systems near impaired water bodies. Now, it's easiest to look at Tier 3 in terms of whether there's a TMDL in place or not. Let me start with when there is an adopted TMDL. So when there is an adopted TMDL, the requirements of the TMDL implementation plan for the impaired water bodies supersedes the Tier 3 requirements in the policy. So that is that makes sense, and that was the idea of the policy is we want maximum amount of public involvement in this, and that can happen during the TMDL implementation phase. So local agencies, when there's an adopted TMDL, must develop and implement a advanced protection management program that conforms to the TMDL and its implementation plan. And all Tier 3 implementation plans must commence within 5 years of the TMDL's effective date. So the policy, it's a little grayer when there's not a TMDL in place. First, existing systems must comply with local requirements in the advanced protection management program that the county will develop under a Tier 2 program. And actually, even if they don't have a Tier 2 program, they have to develop one of these in a Tier 3 area. New and replacement on-site systems within 600 feet of an impaired water body must use supplemental treatment to meet performance standards, and they must be periodically monitored by the county or the regional board. There is an exception to there are a couple of exceptions, actually, to meeting these Tier 3 requirements. The first is if a owner of an on-site system commits to connecting to a wastewater treatment plant that is regulated under waste discharge requirements. And the, one of the requirements of that would be that the owner sign an agreement within 4 years of the date of the listing of that water body on attachment two. And the connection actually must happen within 9 years of the effective date of the policy. Also, again, attachment two. If the, and which is potentially more work for the regional board, if we are unable to adopt a TMDL within the time frame specified in attachment two, we'll be required to, what would happen is the waiver, the conditional waiver for the policy would not be in effect. We would, the regional board would have to go in and take some sort of regulatory action to bring these systems into compliance with the policy. That might include individual permits, general permits, waivers, what have you. So probably of great interest to this board is how the policy applies to the Russian River watershed. As you're probably aware, the policy specifically exempts the Russian River watershed from requiring to implement the policy until the Russian River pathogen TMDL is adopted. The case was made that the watershed was sufficiently unique and the TMDL was sufficiently progressed that an exemption was justified, and local control and local solutions were the preferred path to addressing the impairment. The State Board also recognized that the immediate compliance with Tier 3 requirements might limit the Regional Board's ongoing efforts to support and facilitate community-wide solutions for established communities adjacent to the Russian River and its pathogens. So what this means is the Russian River until the Russian River pathogen TMDL is adopted, all existing new and replacement on-site systems in the Russian River watershed are to comply with the existing basin plan requirements for on-site systems and local requirements that are consistent with the basin plan policy. So requirements in the attachment two of the policy require us to complete the Russian River TMDL by 2016. Staff is continuing, as I'll describe a little bit later in the next presentation, we're continuing with the development of the pathogen TMDL, during which time the stakeholders will have an opportunity to provide input on the implementation alternatives and to address that impairment. So final EPA consideration and approval of the TMDL is expected in 2016. So what are our next steps? First and foremost, once the permit goes into effect or the policy goes into effect, we'll have 12 months in order to incorporate the policy into our basin plan. And at some point, we'll have to figure out how to keep our existing basin plan policies and procedures in the basin plan as well for the Russian River watershed. So we'll be working with our planning unit also to coordinate scoping meetings beginning this fall for the basin plan amendment process. We'll also be continuing to coordinate with local regulatory agencies to help them develop what we think will be an acceptable local agency management plan, and to determine if additional protections are needed to be included in the basin plan amendment. The local agencies will have 24 months after the effective date of the policy to submit their LAMP, and the regional board will have 12 months after that time, after it's submitted, to approve or deny the LAMP. The Russian River pathogen TMDL is ongoing and expected to be completed within the deadline of the policy. TMDL planning units also aware of the requirements in Attachment 2 for Humboldt County, and they're aware of those approaching deadlines. Finally, we'll be keeping you updated periodically on our progress in implementing this new policy. So this last slide is simply staff contacts. I'll probably be responsible for most of the counties in the southern part of our region. Roy O'Connor will be most likely dealing with the systems in the north part. And Mona Doherty and Rebecca Fitzgerald are always there to answer questions. So with that, concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to take any questions you have.
Mr. Massey?
A couple of mechanical questions, perhaps for poor Matt, who is a new EO. I'm going to ask you, how long is it going to take us to do a basin plan amendment of this magnitude? I know what the policy says, but
so just to repeat, we're going to do the best we can to meet it in the deadline that the state board policy sets out. Typically, basin plan amendments take us about 2 years. That's not uncommon. So there's a little bit of those two things don't quite jibe. We're going to do the best we can. I don't know whether Alito Mangelsdorf, our newest senior and senior of our basin planning unit, wants to add to my comments.
Hello, I'm Alita Mangelsdorf, the new supervisor of our basin planning unit. And so I just wanted to share with you that we have a meeting next week to have discussion in-house on what is we've been calling the phase two of our groundwater amendment. So you've heard in the past from basin planning staff about the water quality objective work that's being done to add a narrative translation policy for groundwater and surface water toxics objectives. And then coupled with that is this phase two, which is meant to incorporate both the statewide on-site wastewater treatment system policy as well as the salt nutrient management planning requirement. So we'll be doing sort of an internal scoping next week, and sometime soon in the fall we'll have a public CEQA scoping, and that'll sort of kick off the beginning of our planning for this amendment. So while it's true that these amendments typically take about 2 years, we're getting a little bit ahead of the curve by being able to do our scoping prior to it actually becoming official and final. The statewide policy, that is.
That's why I like this staff. They're cool. Thank you very much. Another question for you, Charles. On your Russian River stuff, we are essentially exempted until 2016, approximately, within the Russian River. But ultimately, particularly dealing with the Tier 3 stuff, really isn't – that's just a break to keep a little bit of local control, and it slows it down a little bit. But the reality is that it's going to apply as soon as that TMDL is in there. You're still talking about a two-tier three system, looking at the Russian River, where you have small lots, bad soils, steep slopes. We're going to be there, correct?
Well, the requirements within the Russian River watershed for areas near the impaired water bodies will be what the TMDL says it will be, and it may be more stringent than what the more protective than what the current policy, the on-site system policy says. It may be identical. It's hard to say now, but there will be requirements for systems within the impaired water body area.
Because I think the public, and certainly in my head I want to know one, but I think because the public also needs to understand this, we're never going to go below Tier 3 for those systems that are 600 feet from an impaired water body on a steep slope. No matter what the TMDL says, it isn't going to make it less than a Tier 3.
That's pretty safe to say.
Thank you.
John.
Well, I just want to make it clear, we have independent regulatory authority to enforce during the interim prior to the adoption of a basin plan, I think just as a individual waste discharge requirement that we can use if that's required. I also think it's very, very important to facilitate local control, because we can't get enough boots on the ground to even begin to scratch the surface of this problem, and so we need local governments. I also go, and it's hard to explain, but there's rural, there's very rural, there's beyond state authority rural, all in our district, and an educational role is going to be required. And I remember a board member, Richard Grundy, here, who on some of the beyond state authority, and I have total respect for him, so I'm not trying to criticize him, but he said, well, we need to show them water quality's there. And I said, well, Richard, to the extent they go to the local bar where there's still regular shootings, the hot issue is whether California ought to enter the union or not. So some of the very, very remote areas, they don't have septics. They're using outhouses. They're using trenches. And then we have in our district the very, very complicated problem for both local government and the regional board on access in vast areas of our region that are basically marijuana grows. And so just driving down the road to inspect is not a simple matter. But I think we can take it on the layers we can solve, really work on education, bring in local control, and just plug at it. But I think some of it's going to be a 10-15 year program. But there are not going to be a lot of people, and there shouldn't be a lot of problems either in the very, very remote. But it's not going to just happen because the state makes a law.
I think local buy-in to our approach is going to be critical. And I think involving the public to the greatest extent possible is going to make this infinitely easier for us.
Charles, just want to try to make sure I get the chronology and mechanics right here. So we've got 2016 for the TMDL development. And in the meantime, any system must meet current basin plan guidelines.
Correct.
Okay. But we're now on the process of doing a basin plan amendment. So presumably when that change is over, it'll be the guidelines will shift. If that's done prior to the TMDL, then system guidelines will fall under this amended basin plan.
So let's see, if we adopt this into the basin plan before the TMDL is in effect.
Right.
It doesn't apply in the Russian River.
Okay. And I was curious because my concern there would have been, and maybe, I don't know if it's possible through another tiering, but if somebody is going to make improvements to a system, then with the TMDL or other guidelines, they'll need to be forced to make additional improvements to that system.
Yeah, they could.
So there's a possibility of that happening.
Yeah, the conditions of the TMDL will supersede anything that's done prior to the adoption of the TMDL, or that is required by the on-site, by the new policy.
Okay. That's just, I could see as a landowner or a homeowner being a little miffed by having to make one upgrade and then having regulation come and having to yet make another upgrade.
Right. Well, this regulation shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, it's been 12 years in the making.
Is there, I guess, thinking forward to that then, you know, to, I'll give Mr. Corbin a minute.
I'm composed.
Well, I don't know if there's a way that we can provide encouragement then for people to maybe go above and beyond the minimum for upgrading their system such that it's probably going to be covered under whatever the final regulation would be. I guess that would be my advice, or if we could give that kind of guidance, to just hit it on the ultra-conservative that way when we know that you just don't have to go through the expense of doing it twice.
Well, we're sensitive to that, but one of the reasons we were able to convince the state board to exempt the Russian River watershed is that we sincerely believe that in some cases a community system, or at least a community solution, might be the answer. And we don't want to get into a position where we have some parts of the community have upgraded, so they don't want to have a new community solution. They've kind of put themselves out. Like, for instance, the original policy was, or the policy now is within 600 feet you are required to comply with Tier 3 requirements. But outside 600 feet, you're not. So that would effectively split a lot of our communities right along the Russian River. So we wanted to not have that go into effect. And the situation you described could conceivably do the same thing. Mm-hmm. If a certain number of people want to upgrade, they wouldn't have any incentive to participate.
Thanks.
Charles, can I ask you, the local area management plan, that's our county plans out there? Is that what that is, or could it be smaller than that? What are those?
It can be. Local regulatory agencies are usually counties. They're governmental agencies that are usually counties. It could be a city. The on-site policy says typical local regulatory agencies are governmental agencies of a smaller than state. It's not clear on what other can be considered a local regulatory agency, like a homeowners association. It's not clear if that's would be allowed or not.
Where counties have, though, that local authority now, they're going to have to rewrite local ordinances on septic. Is that right?
They may have some work to do, but a lot of their policies and ordinances are fairly consistent with the on-site system policy. That was the idea, that the counties with good programs wouldn't have all that much to do to be able to comply with a new policy. And many of our counties are very good, Sonoma County particularly. Mendocino County is pretty good, and Humboldt County all have pretty good programs. We don't think they'll have a lot to do in order to meet Tier 2 requirements.
Do you have outreach and contact with those counties, our counties that are within our region where we have jurisdictional overlap, right? Because is it right, like Sonoma County, I believe it's anything over 2,500 gallons a day is our permitting. I believe that's right.
It's 1,500 gallons.
Correct me. Then 1,500 gallons, and then otherwise it would be PRMD in Sonoma County in particular.
Correct.
Right. So is Sonoma County then, just to use them by example, has a local septic ordinance, right? And so they fall under, then it sounds like their ordinance, maybe they don't have a lot to do to get there on this.
I would think not a lot to do. I mean, they have one of the better programs in the state, so I would think they would not have too much.
But at the same time, though, Sonoma County is going to face this unique situation, and I assume it goes into Mendocino County too, because Russian goes up through the counties. Yep. And so, I mean, it goes and it affects those, so they're a bit different now.
Right. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. That is, it's kind of awkward, actually. We're going to have to be struggling with it, and Sonoma County PRMD will have to struggle with that a little bit too, and Mendocino County Health Department.
Mr. Norman, thank you. Charles, and actually I think all of us need to understand that whether we like it or not, there's a good reason why AB 885 was written. There are problems, and in our neighborhood, we have them. I helped build a sewer in Mirabel because at one point you could, in January, walk down the street and see the effluent going down the road faster than you could walk. We've got problems in the West County. There are problems, we're pretty sure, in the Fitch Mountain area. And they are the vestige of old communities that were designed to be recreational stuff from the 30s and 40s, where, in my case, I lived on a lot that was 56 by 50 feet, included two bedrooms, and, oh, yeah, there was a septic tank out there, but it was simply inadequate. Probably worked in 1935 for two people for 2 weeks in the summer. These are now all full year round family housing units, and they are not effective for what they're doing. So rather than worry about how can you get out of the, get around it, get through it, get over it, let's think about how we can improve the world. I talked with Mr. Moore. We can go to somebody. We're going to need the money to do it. Okay, it's a long-term process. We're going to need the money to do it. And I don't have too much trouble, and I hope there's nobody from the PD here, but I don't have too much trouble telling a member of Congress that we can afford one less tank and upgrade the communities that we live in. We keep talking about infrastructure. This is infrastructure. No matter what we do, we've got to do this. This is an improvement to the world that you and I live in and that we live as a legacy to your kids. So rather than try and worry about how we have to meet the dollars and cents of it and the idea of it, let's roll up our sleeves and go to work. We got a lot to do. And thank you very much, Charles. You've been on this now. I know I keep bugging you and calling you and say, what's it mean? But this has been very good. Thank you.
Well, we look forward and we appreciate your contributions so far.
I just had one more comment. I do expect staff will run into opposition based upon past experience. And so I do want you to know you have our support, and we recognize it's an unpopular program to implement. And we just need to, while respecting people, carry forward and do the best we can.
Yeah, I think we can do this. I think we can bring people together for a common solution.
But you have our back that I'm sure you'll get criticized severely.
Charles, we've got a couple speaker cards.
Okay.
Let's take these, and if there's anything we need to do on the backside, we'll deal with that. Brenda Edelman, please.
Thank you. Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I'm not going to say all the septics are working fine in the lower river, but I do have to say, in watching the samples of bacteria all summer this year, there's been one excursion at Johnson's Beach and one somewhere else in the lower river earlier in the summer, and no others. Okay. But in the Healdsburg area, they've had them consistently over and over and over again. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. Not that we're perfect in our area, but and we may not be as bad as you think we are. I noticed Dan is here, and I don't want to steal his thunder. I have a feeling I know some of the things he's going to talk about, but I have been attending Monte Rio, which is just 4 miles downstream of Guerneville, who has a sewer treatment plant, has been trying to resolve their problems with septic for at least 15 years now, and they've gone through many plans, they had one thing that was ready to go a couple of years back, and then it got canned because there wasn't enough money. And just recently, they had a proposal before redevelopment, and Dan will probably give you more details, to do a feasibility study. And then we lost redevelopment, so there was a calculation that would need about $1 million. And we go to monthly meetings. There's at least a dozen of us who show up each month and talk about these issues, and the problem is always the same. I mean, these are small communities. Monte Rio, their described district, was about 600 hookups with 400 developed when they were going to, were set to do that project. But that doesn't include huge areas in the hills. It doesn't include communities west of Monte Rio. There's absolutely nothing happening with those communities that are even smaller than Monte Rio. So when you start to deal with these very small communities, you just don't have the funding base, and I don't know what the state's plan is around that, but you can't squeeze blood from a turnip, and there are a lot of people in the lower river who are hurting financially and just simply can't afford. These are not high-scale homes, a lot of them, although they are getting more upscale than they were, but there are still a lot of lower-income people there who can't afford some of the remedies that will be required, and that needs to be a really big piece of the discussion, and I'm sure Dan can speak to that even in more detail than I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. All right, with that, Dan Fine.
Good afternoon. Dan Fine. I'm from Monte Rio. And thank you, Brenda, for that intro. We have been meeting every month for about 3 years now, both as a task group of the Russian River Redevelopment Project, and after that went away, just as a group of interested citizens who tend to show up on Monday nights for meetings. We have had absolutely no movement in the last, I would say, 2 years, since January, since we first heard that redevelopment might be removed. So we're at a standstill. But where we had gotten at the point we were then was having made a presentation to the community, having looked into the problems, having reviewed the work that was done in the last 10 years, back to 1995, when another community group first started working to build a sewer plant in Monterio, and came to a recommendation that we would need to do some feasibility studies to figure out what our options are at this point, and then present that to the community and bring them along. Since that time, and backing up, we were focusing on Monterio because that, you know, was an area of focus at the time. With the discussion of AB 885 and the new policy, it's now clear that it's not just Monterio that's going to be involved in one way or the other, or that has a problem that needs to be resolved. It includes Camp Meeker and Duncan's Mills and Ryan's Beach and Jenner and all these other communities that are also adjacent to the Russian River or contribute to the Russian River. Some have said, well, the Russian River is only impaired to Dutchbill Creek, so therefore everybody downstream doesn't matter. And I assume that's not going to be the case, but I think that that sort of clarity needs to come from the board. The other thing that leaves us in limbo is that we have now a four-year window when we really don't know what's going to be asked of us and what requirements any solution we might come up with would have to meet. So any guidance we can get from the board on that would allow us to move forward without the risk of coming up with a solution that would ultimately not be acceptable. So so we're continuing to work on that, and we're also here to act as a conduit between the board and the communities. And to that end, we've been working with your EO to schedule a community meeting. We're currently scheduled for October 20th at 9:30 a.m. in Monterio at the Monterio Community Center, and we're hoping that that at least some of you can be there to make the kinds of presentations we've just heard today, to bring that to the community and make it clear to the community what is going to be required of them. Our objective from the beginning has been to educate the community and bring them along and make them understand what it is that you're asking of us, and you know, anything that you can do to help and emphasize that would be most helpful. I think person by person, we're starting to get understanding, and that's all we can do. So we're going to need help, not just in funding feasibility studies, big dollar items, even little dollar items. We're a group of volunteers. Things like getting postcards out to the community to announce a meeting is not a small cost to us. So any help you can give us, we would greatly appreciate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Norman. Dan, before you run away, I have already committed to be there 9:30 on the morning of the 20th, bright and early in October. So I will be there. My question to Charles, in terms of the we're simply exempt until 2016 because the TMDL is being developed. But my question to Charles was, is there any way that that TMDL will make it less than a Tier 3? And I believe your answer, Charles, was there's no way it's less than a Tier 3. So we need to understand along the Russian River, we are Tier 3. That's where we are. And I'll be happy to say that to the community on the 20th. But we need to understand we have a problem. And I agree with you. It's time to look for money, whether it's for postcards or bigger ticket items. We need to do that.
I appreciate that, and I understood the thrust of your question. Our question would be not what's the minimum, but what is going to be required. You know, if Tier 3 says up to 600 feet, what do you do if you're at 700 feet? We don't know the answer to that, and that's a big question.
No, I absolutely understand the question of the 600 feet, which is one of the reasons that we had a hard time with the Russian River being split that way, as Mr. Reed said. If you're 601 feet, you're exempt. If you're 599, you're in. I think the TMDL as a concept is the, it's literally peak to peak. It's the whole valley, and that will be there.
It would be useful to know not only what the minimum is, but what the likelihood is, mm-hmm. and to be able to work with a set of assumptions that will be safe going forward.
Hang around. Ms. Fitzgerald will give you that in just a minute.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Dan, thank you. Charles, can I ask you to come back up? You're going to come up for the next item anyway. And you articulated that so well. Thank you very much for the information, by the way, and the update. I would ask that as this goes forward, come back and talk to us. I don't want to put a timeline on it, but and also, Alita, as the Basin Plan Amendment starts and that kind of stuff is going, the more we can be informed, I think the better we can inform the communities as requested and be active participants in this, because I think it is going to take a whole lot of effort to get this done. Last thing, I actually wanted to thank Bill Massey for being the king of the small systems and communities out there. I truly mean that. I mean, you bring expertise and wisdom to this that I think is really valuable, and it's really great.
Thank you.
So with that, my request is that you keep us informed as you go, as you know, and we'll help where we can.
Certainly. Oh, well, I think this is going to be a loud public process, and you'll be dragged in whether you want to or not.
I kind of figure that's the way it's going to go, Charles. Okay, with that, then, we're going to get drug into the next.